And as I said earlier on, we're just going to continue looking at seeking the Lord Jesus and focusing on Him. And I want to take you to a scripture in the book of Hosea. How many of you know this book? You know where it is? It's in the Old Testament, one of the minor prophets. And we're going to go to chapter 10. I see the brethren already have it on the screen for you. And I'll read the scripture to you first, and then we'll just talk a little bit about it. So it says here, Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, says this: sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He comes and rains righteousness on you. Yeah, great scripture. We used to have this text at the back of our church in the UK on the wall. Actually, we had it next to the clock deliberately. So when you turned around to look at what the time was, it says it's time to seek the Lord. And when we were preaching from the front hall, we could see the banner across the back of the church saying it's time to seek the Lord. You know, it's time to seek God. You know, let me just tell you a little bit. I don't know if you know this book of Hosea. It is one of the smaller books of the Bible, with just these 14 chapters in them. And the whole book is really talking about, shows the love of God for His people. How the Lord seeks after His people. He comes to seek them, to save them. He pours out His love upon them, even though they go away from Him. And actually, the name Hosea comes from the very root name that we have: Jesus, Joshua, Hosea. They all have the same name, meaning, which is to save. And Hosea is about the salvation of God's people. What we see right back in the beginning of the book, in chapter 1, that the prophet Hosea is told by God and to do something very strange. And if you read it, I would encourage you to read this book. As I say, it's only 14 chapters. And if you take just a chapter a day, you'll get through it in 2 weeks. But in this book, in chapter 1, God tells the prophet Hosea to go and take a wife who is a prostitute, a harlot. And what he does as he's commanded by God, he takes this wife, has children. And his wife, she's continually going astray, she's continually going away. And she goes away, and the prophet goes out, he seeks after her and brings her back. And we see that they're very type of Christ who, you know, when we go astray, he goes after us to seek us and to bring us back. You know, we see this goes all the way through the book. We see God's mercy in this book. We see God's love for His people in this book. And it's a great book to read. If you've not read it recently, I would encourage you to go and read it. But here it comes towards the end of the book here in chapter 10, where it says, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He comes. We seek the Lord until. We don't stop seeking God. If you're looking for something, I was looking for a document a little while ago, and I just couldn't find this document, you know, and I was hunting the house looking for it. I didn't give up. You don't stop looking just because you don't see something straight away. You find it, you search, you hunt, you open every cupboard, you open all the drawers, and in my case, look through some boxes that I've got in one of the bedrooms until you find what you're looking for. And it says here, it's time to seek the Lord till He comes and rains righteousness on you. Now, let's just back up a little bit in that verse, to the middle of the verse. There's a statement made in that verse. At the beginning of the verse, it says, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. Now, I grew up, I was born in the West London area, but I grew up in the countryside, in the Cambridgeshire countryside, where Jane comes from. And we was in a farming community, and it was really good to see the farmers every year. You know, they'd faithfully go out, they'd plough the fields, they'd sow the seed. It was arable land where we were living, not so much livestock, but you could go out and you could see the farmer preparing the ground or working the land, and they would do this early morning till late in the evening. Then it comes time to bring the harvest in, and you'd see the combines working in the field. And this was daily life for us in the area that we lived. But fallow ground, and if you lived in a farming community, you will know this. Fallow ground is land that has been left to rest. It's unsowed, it's unplowed, it's not been farmed for a while. And to some extent it's been neglected because the farmer lets the land rest. Now that's good for the crop. It's in the community that we grew up in, this is what we learned, and it's a part of the growth cycle. They say you shouldn't plant the same crop year after year in the same ground. You should rotate. Crop rotation is what it was known as. Now, I'm not a farmer, I don't know a lot about it. But living in the community, we got to learn a few things. And one thing that was noticed is that you can't sow seed into fallow ground. It had to be prepared. It had to be ploughed. It had to be treated. And that's what the farmer's job was. He would do that. And I was just considering this, quite a few years ago, and as I was just meditating on it, the Lord spoke into my spirit, and I'm seeing it more and more. You know, what the Lord said to me back then, I think this was back in 2005, maybe 2006, something like that. What the Lord spoke then is just as true today. He said that there was a wind of apathy that was blowing through the church. People just couldn't be bothered. You know, they couldn't be bothered coming to church. And we see it today, you know, many people are breaking away and not bothering to come. You know, they can't be bothered with worship. Well, we've spent a lot of time this morning just focusing our worship. We said it's all about you, Lord Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about things. It's not about anything else. And a lot of Christians are just like, oh, I just can't be bothered with worship. Can't be bothered with all that. Even in their own personal devotion. You know, this, oh, it doesn't really matter if I don't read or don't pray. And that's an apathetic spirit that's creeping into the church and blowing its way through the church. And I trust it's not in our lives. But you see it quite a few places. And what many Christians have allowed things in their life to especially their walk with God, to rest, to become dormant, and even to be neglected. And what this scripture here is telling us, it's time to break up that fallow ground. You know, the prophet was speaking to his people because they were doing exactly the same thing. You know, they were, because they'd gone away, they just couldn't be bothered with God. And he says, through the prophet, he's saying, come on, he says, tell the church they've got to break up the fallow ground. They've got to stir themselves up. The Apostle Paul said that. You know, stir up the gifts that are in you. We've got I'm talking about the church in general. There are a lot of people in the church that just want God to do everything for them. And the Bible here is telling us that we've actually got to do something. We've got to do the stirring. He's not going to stir us. We've got to stir it. You know, he's not going to move us. Now, if we take the steps toward him, then he will, as we see in the story of the prodigal son, as the son was sitting in the pig pen, and he was eating what the pigs were eating, and it says he came to himself, and he suddenly started thinking of home, he thought of his father, he thought of the servants that his father had, and he said, look, even my servants are living better than I'm living, and he made that effort, he got up from where he was, and he began his journey home. Now, what we see later on in that story is that the father was looking from afar, and he saw this little figure coming in on the distance. And actually, something interesting in that story of the prodigal son, it says when the father saw his son, Now the son, it doesn't mention that the son made haste. He was walking home. But it says the father ran and met him. You know, if we make our move towards God, then God will run towards us. He's not asking us to run. He's just asking us to come to him. And he will do all of the running for us. But we've got to make those moves. We've got to start breaking up the fallow ground. We've got to start breaking up the clods of earth that are ready for the seed. Pastors touched on this morning, just a minute ago, just before we took the tithes and offerings. Come with me to the book of Revelation chapter 3. In Revelation chapter 3, we're going to just read a few verses here. Starting at verse 15. Now this is in the letter to the church that was at Laodicea. And a lot of scholars have said that this church represents the modern day church that we're living in. And whether you hold to the dispensations, what they say these churches represent or not, it's immaterial. But what this actually says in this scripture, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 15, God says to his people, he says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. You know, that's that apathy. You know, some are cold, some are hot. And he says, I'd rather you be, he says, you're not really one or the other. He says, you're somewhere in between, you're lukewarm. He says, I'd rather you be fully cold than lukewarm. Or I'd rather you be fully hot than lukewarm, but don't be somewhere in between. Now, I had a problem this morning, and this, I've had this quite a few times recently. I don't know whether it's something to do with our shower, but I just cannot get the temperature right in the shower. It's either too hot or it's too cold. You know, and I got it this morning, and I don't know whether, I haven't actually checked. I nearly shouted out when I was in the shower this morning. I got it just right, it was just perfect. All of a sudden it went so cold. I don't know whether Jane turned the tap on or somebody else in the block turned the tap on. But this lovely warm water suddenly went freezing cold. Well, I say freezing cold, you know, but that's perhaps an exaggeration. But it went cold. And it took me by surprise. And this is what God is saying. He says, we like it lukewarm or that sort of great temperature for showering. But he said, I'd rather you be one or the other, but don't be down the middle. He says, I hate apathy. And it was to this same church, we're going to read it in a minute, just a little bit later on in verse 20. This same church, with the church that was apathetic, that he said this, look at verse 19. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Now, we don't like to be rebuked. We don't like chastening. We don't like to be told that we're doing something wrong or we've gone astray. But God says, as many as I love, I chasten. Because he loves us, he tells us these things. He said, therefore, he says, be zealous and repent. That's what God is looking for from us. That's what the whole book of Hosea is about. God's trying to get his church, his people, to come back to him and repent and live as they should live. But then look at this. So we're very familiar with verse 20 because he's just told the church here. He says, yes, the ones I love, I rebuke and chasten. And then he says, I want you to be zealous. He says, I want you to repent of your sin. Repent of your going astray. Repent of that apathy. Repent of that lukewarm spirit. And then he says this, and we use this. This is used, this verse is used frequently as a gospel verse to bring outsiders to the Lord. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. But this verse is not talking to outsiders. This is talking to the church. Can you believe that there are people in the church that have closed the door on the Lord? that's something to think about, isn't it? There's people within the church. Now, I'm not talking about any particular church, I'm not talking about this, I'm talking about the church in general. There are people in the church that have just closed the door on the Lord. So we don't want that religious, well actually it is religion that they've got, but we don't want that life. We don't want it. We're happy, we're comfortable. It's in the book of Amos, I believe it is. There's a scripture in the book of Amos which says, woe to those who are at ease in Zion. You know, woe to those who are comfortable in their place. But he says, because of this apathetic spirit, he said, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. And then he says, if anyone, and again, he's talking to those in the church, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, he says, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. If you close the door on the Lord Jesus, there's no fellowship. You're not dining, you're not eating, you're not partaking, you're not sharing. And that's where that apathy sets in. Oh, well, I just can't be bothered. I won't go to church today. I've got so much on I've got to do. It doesn't matter if I'm not there. And we miss out. Not only do you miss out, but the church misses out too, because we don't have you here. And we need everybody. We're not trying to build numbers. It's not a numbers thing. It's not about a kingdom thing. And a lot of people it is. Oh, we've got to get people in the churches. We've got to have the biggest church. We've got to have the best. No, it's about the relationship that we have. We've got to feed and bless one another. And if you're not here, we can't bless you and you can't bless us. We need you. God needs us so that we can grow together. But he says, I want you to come back to me. Repent, he says. Repent. He says, I will come in to him if you open the door. If you break up the fallow ground, he says, I can invest into you. I can plant seed into you. But I can't do it if the land is unprepared. It's full of weeds. It's not been plowed. It's not been fertilized. It's not been prepared. Back in Hosea, it says, in that verse, it says, after we've broken, it says, break up the fallow ground. It says, it is time to seek the Lord. Till he comes and rains righteousness on you. Until he comes. I didn't give Chica these verses, so you don't have to turn it up, but if Chica can find it, that'd be great. Go to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. You know, Peter, in his preaching, he really comes to the conclusion of his message that we have recorded in Acts 3. This is just after the lame man has been healed, the man that sat by the beautiful gate of the temple. You remember the story where Peter and John were going up to the temple to pray, and there was this lame man sat at the gate, and we have that great verse at the beginning of the chapter where Peter looks at them, they make eye contact, and Peter says, look, he said, I don't have silver, I don't have gold, but I've got something you can have. And he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Amen. And everybody knew this man that sat at the temple gate, and this was an opportunity for Peter to preach and proclaim the Lord Jesus. So he took that, and as he's coming to the conclusion of his message to the people that were listening around the temple mount, he says, repent therefore, verse 19, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. And it's this same sort of phrase, this same sort of idea. So that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. You know, God wants to bless us. He wants to rain His righteousness upon us. He wants to rain His blessing upon us, His presence upon us. That time of refreshing. There's nothing greater. I don't think so. There's nothing greater than time spent in worship of the Lord Jesus and waiting on Him. It's refreshing. Many times when I've been physically tired and physically weak, maybe because of things that I'm doing, you know, maybe because of work or just generally just feeling so drained, you know, rather than do something like watch the TV, I just like to sit and either just listen to worship and worship myself, or I go away to play my keyboards or the guitar. Just get alone with God, just to focus on Him and worship Him. You know, and that refreshing spirit comes over you. You know, there's something great about worship and waiting on the Lord. Repent therefore and be converted. And there's again that word repent. Come back to me. You know, I've talked about seeking the Lord, but in our seeking God, we've got to come with that repentant heart. Particularly if we've been away and we know that there's apathy in our life. Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. The prophet Isaiah said the same thing in Isaiah 55. In Isaiah 55 verses 6 and 7, again we have this encouragement. It says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. There's the refreshing, the pardon, the abundant pardon, the forgiveness, the mercy of God. But where does it start? It starts with seeking the Lord, calling upon Him, forsaking your way. That's repentance, turning around, turning your back on the wickedness. It's returning to the Lord. You know, we touched on it earlier on, and it's been mentioned, you know, we're fast approaching the nativity season. And you know, the nativity season, really, a lot of the key events in this book we know as the Christmas story are centered around seeking Jesus. We see it in the lives of the shepherds in the fields. And I'm confident over the next week or so that you'll read this, or you'll have it read to you, and you'll hear it in greater detail. But after the angels had appeared to the shepherds and told them of the coming or the birth of the Lord Jesus, it says immediately they went in search of Him. It says in Luke's Gospel, it says that when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And it says, they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. You know, they came. They went in search. They heard the news that Jesus had been born, and they went to seek for Him. They went to search for Him. The wise men also, we read in Matthew's Gospel, and both of those, by the way, are in chapter 2, Luke 2 and Matthew 2. The wise men says that they followed a star that had appeared, and they were searching the one who'd been born king. And Matthew 2, 1 and 2 says this, it says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is He who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the east and have come to worship. We've come to worship. We've seeking this one who's been born. Now what we know, at this time of year, we remember that God sent Jesus into the world. He'd been preparing the ground for centuries, speaking his word. He'd been plowing the fields. In essence, that's what God was doing when he was speaking forth his word, preparing the ground for Jesus to come. And then at the right time, Galatians tells us this. Perhaps you could put it on the screen for me, Chica. Galatians chapter 4. It tells us that at the right time, the man, God sent Jesus into the ground. All those years, speaking through the prophets, speaking through those that were open to him, preparing the ground. God sent Jesus into the world. And it says men saw for him. We know men saw for him. Men are still seeking for him today. And because they saw for him, it says he poured mercy into their lives. As we read in Isaiah, there was forgiveness, there was abundant pardon. It says here in Galatians 4, verse 4. It says, when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Yeah, God sent Jesus into the world. That's what we're remembering. In the fullness of... Just look, think of that phrase. The fullness of the time. Jesus wasn't one day early. And he wasn't a day late either. Now for men, they say, well, they waited. And they were hearing this. Isaiah prophesied it 700 years before Jesus came, and they were prophesying it. They said, oh, and we read it in the New Testament, talking about the second coming. They said, oh, where's the promise of his coming? You've been saying that for centuries, that Jesus is coming. When is he coming? And men might have been doing the same thing. You know, for centuries we've been hearing that the Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming. When is he coming? But in the fullness of time, at the right time, not one day late, not one day early, Jesus came. God sent him into the world. God sent forth his Son. He was born of a woman, born under the law. Why? So we could celebrate and have Christmas and send cards and have dinners and give gifts so we could put up a tree and decorate. Jesus came to redeem those who were under the law. Amen. That we might receive the adoption as sons.
Amen.
And daughters. But what we've got to do, how can we receive that redemption? How can we receive that adoption? We've got to seek Jesus, just like the shepherds did, like the wise men did, like he told Hosea to do. Go and search out your gone astray wife and bring her back. And actually, that's, as I started off saying, that's what we see in the whole of the book of Hosea. It's the story of God's love for a world that has gone astray, to bring them back. And you can trace it as you go through the book of Hosea. You see, let me just take you back there for a moment. You see, we see in chapter 1 where God tells Hosea to take his wife while she continues to go astray. In chapter 2, it remains that God's people are being unfaithful to him. And then in chapter 3, we see a little bit of the mercy of God, and again, God presents his case against his people. But then in chapters 4 and 5, we see they go astray again. And then in 6, he's calling them back to repentance. Come back to me. And we don't see it. And then later on, we get to chapters 10, where he's continuing to pour out his love and his mercy on his people. And we finally finish off in chapter 14, where there's actually a time of repentance and restoration as God pours out into the lives of his people. And that's all he wants to do, to pour. The reason Jesus came is so that God could pour into us his mercy, his love, his forgiveness, his pardon, to redeem those who were under the law. Now it says in Hosea 10 verse 12, it says it's time to seek the Lord until he comes and rains righteousness on us. I would have closed this morning with just one more verse from the book of Jeremiah chapter 4. Again, as always, just can't believe where the time has gone. Jeremiah 4 verse 3. It's continuing this theme of, and actually echoes what we read in Hosea. It says, "For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and do not sow among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord, and take away the foreskins of your hearts, you men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn so that no one can quench it because of the evil of your doings." You know what God's saying there? He's telling us, yes, we're to break up the fallow ground. We're to come back to God in repentance, prepare our hearts. It says they root out the thorns. Sow for yourselves righteousness. You can't sow, or you can sow in thorny ground, but you know what? We see it in the parable of the sower. The thorns just destroy the seed that's sown. It chokes the life out of the seed. So you can't really sow in thorny ground. How do we sow for ourselves righteousness? It's by seeking the Lord. Then verse 4 says this, it says, "Circumcise yourselves to the Lord." The word circumcise, now we know what circumcision is, but the word circumcise literally means to cut or to cut off. And what God's telling us here is, he's telling us, it says, take away the foreskins of your hearts. It says, separate yourselves to God. You know, so we're told there to come before God, to seek Him. Now, this isn't a normal, perhaps a nativity message. But the fact that Jesus came, we see the babe in the manger. We see men, shepherds, wise men, seeking after Him. Now, even Herod himself sought after Him, but not for worship. But men were seeking this baby. How much more shall we seek God today? Now you might say, well, I'm all right. You know, I'm not like you've been speaking about there, Brother Peter. I'm not apathetic. I'm not gone away. We can still seek the Lord. We can still come before Him. Focus on Him, as we said just earlier on. You know, consider Him. Focus. Look in unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. So let me just urge and encourage you, brothers and sisters, let's take this opportunity this week to follow hard after the Lord. Just as we've been singing and worshipping all morning, you know, it's all about Jesus. It's not about me, not about what we do, not even about the celebrations of the season. It's about Jesus, our Savior, the one who came as a baby to redeem us and to bring us into the family through adoption. Amen. 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 Amen.